and to sense your mighty, mighty presence. And so we thank you for your word that you sent forth and you heal. We thank you for your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword that divides us, even dividing of asunder of the soul and the spirit. We thank you for your word that gives reproof, rebuke, and correction, but also encourages and uplifts. And so, Father, I ask now that you would touch these lips of clay, this flesh, that it would be subject unto you, and that we would only say what you want said, that the ears of your people would hear what you want them to hear, that all distractions and hindrances would be held off, be kept back, Father, that you would have your complete way and your complete will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever seen something that was just so totally awesome and it left you almost bewildered? Maybe some of you have seen the Grand Canyon and have not been touched by its majestic scenery, or maybe like Abby, you've went and you've seen the power and felt the mist and heard the roar of Niagara Falls, and if you just ask her about it, she'll tell you she loves it. Maybe that is something that you have felt and you have seen, and you, or maybe you go and you find the beauty of the mountains or the power of the ocean. You find that those things take your breath away. But that's where Isaiah found himself. The story that we're reading about, we started about last week. And that's where Isaiah found himself in this very famous sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. And so Isaiah was given a vision of the throne room of God. The Lord sat upon the throne of his glory. The vision transformed Isaiah's life, and as he got a glimpse of the Lord. And so the prophet provided for us what he witnessed in this heavenly vision from God, what he heard and how it imparted his life. And so, in fact, Isaiah reveals to us what happens when you spend time in the presence of God. It changes your life. And so let's read what Isaiah saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Last week we talked about Uzziah and how that he had reigned for 52 prosperous and secure years. And by the end of his reign, however, clouds were gathering because Tilgath-Pilser III of Assyria was starting to flex his muscles and was starting to conquer the territory around him. And so the small nation, the states of Palestine there, what it was made up Israel, were beginning to feel the threat. So just when Israel needed this strong leader who would be able to guide and direct them and help them to maneuver what was beginning to happen around them, King Uzziah dies. Isaiah could have focused upon the death of King Uzziah. But the King James Version, as we talked about last week, makes a very special, interesting statement. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Sometimes there are things in our life that have to die before we get a fresh vision of God. Sometimes we get so caught up in our routine, in our schedule, and the things that we think are going to happen and that need to happen, that sometimes those things have to die before we get a fresh vision of God. Isaiah said that he saw also the Lord. Now, Isaiah could have went about and he could have focused upon everything that was going on around him. Uzziah, you see, was a king that had committed a sin of trespass. Intruding into the house of the Lord were, as a non-priest, he was not allowed to go. And then when the priest came to correct him and confront him about it, Uzziah got completely upset and mad and would not take the reproof and the correction of the man of God. And so things began to happen to Uzziah, and he became a leper and lived out the rest of his life secluded from everyone. And when death came, this situation was unresolved. The king died as he had lived, estranged and unclean. The nation of Israel had also overstepped the bounds of grace. And if you move back to the chapter 5, they were moving towards its demise under divine displeasure in chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. And then at the hands of an invincible foe in chapter 5, verses 24 through 30. And so it would have been real easy for Isaiah to focus upon the bad. There was so much of it around him, it would have been real easy for him to get sidetracked and completely obsessed with everything bad going on around him. It would have been real easy to focus on the fact that there's an enemy out there that's surrounding us and we're about to be conquered and now we need a leader and he is no longer here because he has died. It would have been real easy to focus on all of those things. But the Word of God tells us that in the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Isaiah began to focus upon that which he knew was power from on high that he needed. He needed to step into the throne room of God where he could see God high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So we need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to take time and let everything else die off around us so that we get along with God and we get a fresh vision of God Almighty. Amen. Isaiah saw God in his sovereignty. An earthly king may have died, but the Lord still reigned. He saw the Lord in all of his glory, and it had a profound impact upon his life. When life seems to fall apart at the seams, we need to remember the God who is in control of it all. We talked last week about David and how that he was unwanted, unloved, and spent most of the years of his young life in seclusion and unwanted. But God still saw him. Amen. And even though he had been anointed king, he still was servant and obedient to his dad. And his dad said, go check on your brothers in the war and see how they're doing. And David obeys. And because he obeys, it puts him on the battlefield where Goliath the giant is shouting his demise and of the kingdom of Israel and the God of Israel. And so David hears this, and David goes out and fights Goliath. And as you know the story from your childhood, that David ended up killing Goliath. But what we need to recognize and what we need to remember is that what appears to be a tragedy to us may be the greatest thing that could have happened in our lives. The hardest battle of our lives may be the one that propels us to the destiny and the calling God has upon our lives. Goliath was a giant. But because David went out and fought that giant is what gave him the notoriety that he did not have beforehand. Fighting that giant is what gave David his calling and propelled him into the destiny that God had for him. So we need to recognize that sometimes those battles, even though they are hard, is what it may take in order for us to get where God wants us to be. So we need to see what Isaiah saw. Once Isaiah saw God sitting upon the throne, this is something we need to recognize. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. But Isaiah, when he caught this glimpse of God, didn't say, wow, there he is, look at him. Instead, when Isaiah saw God, he said, woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. There, when you get into the presence of God, and when you come into God's presence, there is something there that drives us to recognize how frail and impure we really are. Isaiah, the prophet of God, says, "Woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." That word woe has lost its strength in our language today. It is the word used to pronounce the greatest form of God's judgment. When the angels pronounced woe on the inhabitants of the earth in the book of Revelation, the angel was actually saying, the most severe judgment is about to fall on you. God is upset and you're about to get it. You're about to feel the wrath of Almighty God. That's what it means when you say, woe is me. Jesus used this word concerning Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed him. He said, in fact, it would have better have been for Judas never to have been born than to betray the Son of God. He says, woe unto you. It was rare for a prophet to pronounce woe upon a person's life, but here we have even something more rare than that, because the prophet of God is declaring woe upon himself. It's because he has come into the presence of Almighty God. Immediately following his pronouncement of judgment on himself, Isaiah cries out, "I am undone." And to be undone means to be coming apart at the seams. Isaiah stood before a holy God, and for the first time in his life, he really grasped who God was. And for the first time in his life, he really understood who he was. When you come into the presence of God Almighty, we need to understand who he is and who we are. In that single moment, all self-esteem was shattered. All confidence in himself and humanity was annihilated. If there was any pride, it was nowhere to be found. Isaiah was prostrate on his face, groveling on the floor on the throne room of God, saying, "Woe is me." Every fiber of his being was trembling and exposed. He looked for a place to hide but couldn't find one. He saw more than ever before his desperate need of mercy and grace and in order to survive, let alone stand before such a holy God who is Lord of all. We need to see what Isaiah saw. We need a fresh glimpse of God. We need a glimpse of the glory of God that would manifest his presence, that would draw men and women to repentance. Repentance has to first start in the house of God. And we have been seeing that as we have been seeing preacher after preacher and church after church fall and fail. God is beginning judgment in his house, and that is going to be going to the world. So we need to see what Isaiah saw. We need a fresh glimpse of God. But not only do we need to see what Isaiah saw, we need to hear what he heard. When he felt as if he couldn't stand another moment, he described what happened next. He said, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed and your sin is atoned for.'" God gives mercy and grace to the humble, and the burning coal purged or refined Isaiah. And after he was purified, Isaiah then heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" God's great remedy for sins, for mankind's ruin of mankind by their sin, is that the gospel message go forth and that Jesus Christ came as the supreme sacrifice, that his blood atones for us. But in order for this remedy to work, it must be received by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But we also got to realize that there cannot be faith without hearing, for hearing cometh, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that arises the serious inquiry, how can they hear without a preacher? So God has a remedy for sin. God has a remedy for the fall and the ruin of mankind. But first of all, they have to hear. And in order for them to hear, somebody has to go tell them. There must be a proclamation of the message of God's grace and mercy, or people cannot know it. There has to be those who are willing to go forth and say, look what God has done. Look what God has done for me. You may be lost and undone, but there is one who loves you. And he came and he died for you that you might have life, that you might come to him in repentance of your sin, and that he would forgive you and give you his love and his grace and his mercy. But that word of salvation doesn't do any good until it's decreed and declared in the person's ear, for they must hear it to receive it. There is at the present moment a great lack of people to tell the story of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Do you see what's happening here? Jesus, God's Son, is saying the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So you would think there that God would just begin to do something. But the command is, pray that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. You and I have been given a commission. Pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. Pray that God would send people out there to witness and to minister unto others. Pray that God would send forth laborers into the field. And then we go back to the same call that was 2,700 years ago. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Jesus is saying, pray that God will send. Pray that God will ask the call, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Listen this morning to the words of Jesus as they sadly cry, how shall we be rewarded? How shall the precious drops of blood be made available to redeem the souls of the lost, unless loving lips shall go for us to proclaim to lost souls that they can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus? How shall the drops of Jesus' blood that was shed for you and me, how will they be rewarded? Will we go forth and tell other people that Jesus shed his blood for them? The blood of Jesus cries like Abel's blood from the ground, who shall I send? And his wounds repeat the question, who will go for us? D.L. Moody spoke with urgency when he said, I can imagine when Christ said to that little band around him, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Peter said, Lord, do you really mean that we're to go back to Jerusalem and preach the gospel to those men who murdered you? Yes, said Christ, go. Hunt up that man that spit in my face. Tell him he may still have a seat in my kingdom if only he repents. Yes, Peter, go find that man that made the cruel crown of thorns placed on my brow and tell him I will have a crown ready for him when he comes into my kingdom and there will be no thorns in it. Hunt up that man that took a reed and brought it down over the cruel thorns, driving them into my brow, and tell him that I will put a scepter in his hand, and he shall rule over the nations of the earth with me if he will accept salvation. Search for the man that drove the spear into my side, and tell him that there is a nearer way to my heart than that. Tell him I forgive him freely, and that he can be saved if he will accept salvation as a gift. Church, we need to hear what Isaiah heard. We need to hear the word of the Lord as he asked for laborers to go into the highways and the byways to call for lost souls to come home to the family of God. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be out there searching high and low for the hungry, for the weary, for the lost, for the hurting, for those that Jesus Christ is looking to love, for those that he is longing to draw unto himself. You know, we've got more that we're going to do out there, but you've seen the logo that Faith Community Church is to be a lighthouse of benevolence. But there's more that goes along with that. Find a need and feel it. Find a hurt and heal it. We need to be the hands and feet of Jesus extended to the world, that when the world looks at us, they do not see us, but they see Jesus. That we love like he loved. That we are willing to go where he went. We need to be searching for them. We need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to hear what Isaiah heard. And we need to say what Isaiah said. Then said I, here am I, send me. And when he said, send me, he said, I'm available. He said, God, I'm here. As soon as Isaiah gets his heart clean, he hears the call of the Lord to service. When Isaiah said, here am I, he was saying, my downtime is over and I am ready for service. He was saying, I'm ready, coach, put me in. I don't need to just sit on the sidelines anymore. I don't need to be a bench warmer anymore. I'm ready to get off my laurels and my do-nothing and do something for you. God, I am ready to go. Put me in. Here am I. Send me. He was signifying that he was over the death of Uzziah, that he wasn't worried about all the death and the things that were going around him. He was no longer looking at those things, but he saw what was really important, and that was the call of God. And that's what we need to say when life turns down. We need to get out or get our all on the altar for God and come to the place where nothing means anything to us but what he wants from us. We need to submit, to surrender, and to sacrifice. Paul wrote in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm available, Lord. But not only am I available, I'm also agreeable. I agree with what you said. I agree with the message that you are proclaiming. And I will do what you said. Lord, I am here to do what you want, and I am willing to do what you want. Send me and let me go do what you want me to do. Perhaps the line that is most frequently attributed to Dwight L. Moody is this: the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. And by God's help, I aim to be that man. In fact, though, Moody didn't originate that statement. It was actually Henry Varley, a British revivalist who had befriended the young American in Dublin. And so he recalls in 1870 through the three that Moody had asked him to recount words that they had spoken in a private conversation a year earlier, just before Moody's return to the United States. And Moody had went to him and said, do you remember saying this statement? And Varley says, I remember us talking, but I do not remember the actual sentence. Ah, said Moody, those were the words sent to my soul through you from the living God. As I crossed the wide Atlantic, the boards of the deck of the vessel were engraved with them. And when I reached Chicago, the very paving stones seemed marked with, Moody, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. And under the power of those words, I have come back to England, and I felt that I must not let more time pass until I let you know how God has used your words to my inmost soul. Folks, time is short. We need to be about our Father's business. But let me give a warning of caution this morning. We need to be doing what God has called us to do. But there is coming in this last day a spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit of Antichrist, if you go back to the beginning, to Genesis, Satan spoke through the serpent. And the serpent is an animal that has a forked tongue. And it began when Satan got Eve to doubt what God had said, the serpent opened his mouth and began to speak lies that were wrapped in half-truths. What he said was an accusation against God to destroy the people of God. The serpent used his mouth to deceive Eve. In these last days, you will hear attack after attack against the people of God. People open their mouths and speak half-truths. They know you won't believe it if it's completely off base, so they're going to wrap just enough truth in it to try and get you to believe it. People will be attacking ministries and anybody that is working for God. Here is the warning. We cannot repeat those things. We cannot like them or share them on social media. We cannot gossip about them in the restaurant. If you want to talk to somebody about it, talk to God. When there are ministries out there that have been winning souls to Jesus Christ, we are not to be spreading rumors. Don't be one of those who say, "Did you hear about this?" Don't be those who say, "Did you hear about that person?" We are not to be spreading those things, and we are not to be part of it. We have too much to do and so little time to do it that we don't have time to get caught up in that. I do not know how many ministers I have heard repeating this same warning. Don't get caught up in what the enemy is trying to spread and do. God is on the move. God is moving around us. In fact, I needed to tell you this. Tomorrow morning, we have a prayer call Monday through Friday for the pastors in the state of Indiana. And we always have a guest speaker the last 10 minutes of the call. But tomorrow we're going to have a special guest speaker, and the state overseer wanted us to give the invitation to all of the people in the churches to be on the call if you want to. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're going to have a minister from Willard, Ohio, which is up north near Cleveland, Sandusky. They're in the middle of a 5-week unplanned revival. So far, they have had over 300 people get saved and baptized in 5 weeks. And so that pastor is going to be on the call tomorrow sharing about his heart about the revival and what's been happening. It wasn't something they had planned. Revival just broke out. And so God is on the move all around us. And when God is on the move, Satan is going to be on the move. And Satan moves with his mouth. So we must be on guard that we do not fall prey to those things. Matthew 12, 36 and 37, Jesus said, "I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." Galatians 6, 1 and 2, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ." So don't share those things. Do not say those things. Do not repeat those things, because we will stand before God someday for the things we say. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." When we hear these things or somebody wants to fill our ears with this stuff, we need to say we don't want to be any part of it, because ain't nobody got time for that. We are to be about our Father's business. We need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to hear what Isaiah heard. We need to respond with what Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me." Could the musicians come? The world needs to hear the gospel, so we don't have time to be reckless with our words and our finger pointing. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be a loving church that loves people around us, that they see Jesus Christ. The down times are coming to life. You can count on them just as sure as you can count on the sun rising and setting day by day. But when they do come, you can shorten their duration and severity by simply seeing what Isaiah saw, hearing what Isaiah heard, and responding with what Isaiah said. Let us be about our Father's business. I want to ask you to stand as they stand. Bill, if you want to go change. A focused heart. A clean heart, a surrendered heart will quickly find itself on the upward path towards God. Are we willing to respond to the call? Are there loved ones and friends you are concerned about today? Are you willing to go as God sends? Are you willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me? Or maybe you're one this morning that you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you've never asked Him to come into your heart, into your life. He's calling this morning. He came and He died that you might have life. But we must come to Him in repentance first. Say, Lord, here am I. Save me and forgive me. Maybe you're one that you've been saved, but you've focused on everything that's been going wrong around you instead of focusing upon God seated high upon the throne. Whatever your need this morning, the altars are open. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there one this morning who would say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. If I died today, I would spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And I don't want that. God doesn't want that either. God doesn't want that any should die, but He wants that all would come to repentance. Would you be willing to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know the Lord this morning. Is there one who would say, Pastor, pray for me because the world's really just been getting at me. And I've lost focus. I see hands. Lord, I need you this morning. If that's you this morning in any of those instances, would you come as they begin to sing? Come to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. If you're willing to say, answer the calls of who shall we send, who will go for us. If you're willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Would you come as they begin to sing?
Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree, here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm poor or if I'm wealthy, I'll serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord, send me. On the mountain or the valley, I will choose to praise. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I know by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. If the truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway. 'Cause here I am, Lord, send me. If it means that they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes. 'Cause I love you, I love you. When I'm standing in your glory, I'll be glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I live to hear you say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me.
You can be seated. We're going to have a baptism here in a minute. I did want to point out that don't forget that we will have church tonight and then Bible study Wednesday night. Thursday night will be the first Thursday of the month, so we'll be gathering at 6:30 for lost souls, for prayer for lost souls. And then yesterday was the first, so the third Saturday will be the week after next, be the 15th. So put that on your calendars, men, for a men's fellowship breakfast. So keep all that. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go back here, and if you just want to sing something baptismal.
Watch ye, therefore, you know not the day
when the Lord shall
call your soul away. If you're fighting, striving for the right, he shall wear a robe and crown. Watch ye, therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're fighting, striving for the right, you shall wear a robe and crown.
I'm gonna wear a 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 crown.
When the trumpet sounds.
When that trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds.
When that trumpet sounds. I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown. Just as soon as the feet strike.
Heaven's
gonna sit down beside the king.
Jesus
gonna tell him, mountains have glad glory. We shall wear a robe and crown.
Yeah, we've got the kids coming in. I forgot to tell Bill to tell them to come on up. So, are the rest of them coming up? Okay. Well, this is a time that we are truly grateful for. Now, the Lord told us to go forth and to teach and to baptize men in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to make disciples of all men, teaching them and baptizing them. Baptism is a sign of discipleship. It's that outward symbol of what's taking place on the inside. We're saying to God, yes, Lord, I'm yours. And I'm coming into alignment with you. I'm available and I'm agreeable. And so we are thankful for people whenever they want to come and to be baptized and to take that step. And even when people want to be rebaptized, because you go through the Bible, there's all kinds of baptisms. And we don't have time to go into all those, because those are all different sermons. But we're thankful for that. Thankful for the Lord and thankful for Bill and for what God is doing in his life. And so how he is drawing him and working through him. And so, Bill, you got anything you want to say?
Yes, I do.
I figured.
You shouldn't ask. And I did stop and talk to the teens down there. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I know he went to the cross and died for my sins. I don't know. I just felt, I talked to Sean after our prayer breakfast here in the morning, that God was just saying to Bill, I want you to go deeper into me. I want you to take the next step. And forever, I was always wanting to, I guess, not really say, let your will be done, which is hard for me to do. But it's time for me to examine myself and let God examine me and to follow what he has me to do. And I feel that this is what he wants me to do. And I love him, and he's my Lord and Savior. But I just want to be washed away from all that filth in the past. Thank you, Jesus.
Put your hand over your mouth. Bill, upon your confession of the Lord as your Savior, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, Susan, your ice didn't help.
Amen. Go ahead and sing.
Watching, therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're fighting, striving for the right, you shall wear a robe and crown.
I'm gonna wear a 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 crown.
When the trumpet sounds.
When that trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet.
When that trumpet sounds, I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown. Just as soon as the feet strike,
Zion's
gonna lay down the heavy.
Oh, the heavy burden,
put on the robe.
My robe, glory,
glory, gonna shout, tell
my glory,
gonna
sit down beside the King.
Jesus, gonna tell me how I made it.
How I made it over,
put on the robe.
My robe,
glory, gonna shout, tell the light.
Tell the light, glory,
we shall wear a robe.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
When the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds. I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown. Just as soon as the feet strike.
As the feet strike,
I am
laid
down the heavy.
Oh, the heavy burden.
Gonna put on the robe. We shall wear a robe and crown.
Amen. praise and worship team. I know there's churches that don't have people that can sing. We've got a slew of them that can. So I'm thankful for that.
We have Carolyn's cookbooks. I'll have them at the door if you haven't already got one. I have them for you today. $15 a piece. All the proceeds go to the youth house.
Yes. I had something else in mind. There's also a thank you note on the bulletin board from the Gary Enix's family, from his funeral. So be sure and stop and see that. So all hearts and minds clear this morning. Amen. Amen. Charlie, you want to dismiss us in prayer?